I'm Russ White. This is MSU Today, and it's good to be in the company of Dr. and Dean Andrea Amalfitano, who's the brand new dean of MSU's prestigious College of Osteopathic Medicine. Andy, great to have you on the show.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate the time to share a little bit about our college and our vision going forward.
And congratulations. How does it feel? You were interim dean for a while. Now you're the dean.
It's humbling and also thrilling at the same time to know that the faculty and staff of the college have enough confidence in me to proceed forward as the permanent dean. As well, the other faculty and staff at the university, other deans, been tremendously supportive. Our alumni, our external partners, you know, the Michigan Osteopathic Association, a number of groups outside of the college all came together, and I feel like I have the support of thousands as we go forward to produce the best physicians in the country.
So tell me, describe osteopathic medicine. What makes it unique or distinct?
Well, first of all, osteopathic medicine is a approximately 130-year-old profession. It's unique to the United States, but in many ways it's extremely progressive. I'll give you an example. Right now, 1 in 7 physicians practicing in the nation are an osteopathic physician. We have the Doctor of Osteopathic degree. 1 in 5 doctors graduating from a medical school right now is from an osteopathic medical school. 1 in 4 students entering medical school right now are entering an osteopathic medical school. Our profession is growing in leaps and bounds. And a lot of that has to do with the tenets of what we pursue as physicians. So I like to speak to a notion about our college being a place where the science of medicine has not forgotten the art of medicine. And I think those words resonate with today's students. So we know the science of medicine. We teach everything that needs to be known about contemporary health and wellness and diseases. I'm a geneticist, so I know diseases at the atomic level, I like to say. But I also understand that a disease is not just a symptom. This is a patient. This is a patient who has a family. Family that interacts with the community. And as physicians in the osteopathic profession, we strive to teach that at every opportunity we can, that we just do not reduce persons down to a symptom and treat that and move on. We have to keep all these things in mind. And that's what every day you will be taught in our college and as a profession. Now, I'm not saying that that's exclusive to the osteopath profession. We have great physician colleagues, but you can be rest assured that if you're in an osteopathic medical school, that you will be guaranteed that this will be front and center every day. Every lecture I give, those components of how what we're learning today impacts all these levels of a patient, not just at their disease level or a symptom or a metabolic change, but how it affects them personally, their interactions with their family. These are important to our profession. I will also add to that our profession was born out of a time, so this is just post-Civil War, so this is a sort of a little mini history lesson, at a time when medicine really had nothing much to offer except maybe, you know, some arsenic or some strychnine or a good bloodletting. And this was the state of the art of medicine back then across the board. And what the osteopathic physicians early on recognize is that there's more than this to provide patients, and we needed to look beyond. And so one of the things that became a foundation for the profession is looking at how advanced physical therapy techniques can relieve pain and suffering. It's called osteopathic manipulative therapy. Various terms are used, but really what it is just a desperation on the part of physicians to want to take care of pain and suffering in any way. And so if there was a new technique to move muscles to alleviate back pain or alleviate a headache or any number of applications, osteopathic physicians have not hesitate to incorporate that into their practice. Do no harm, but bring benefit. And so that's another aspect of our profession, that we are always looking to bring whatever we can to the benefit of our patients. And sometimes those things that we learned through the ages from our mentors in the practice, maybe they have not undergone double-blind, placebo-controlled clinical trials yet, but we know they work. In fact, medicine in general, if you look, you know, maybe on a good day, 30 to 40% of the time, it's evidence-based is what we'd like to espouse, where something has gone through that kind of a rigor. But there's many things everyday physicians of all realm practice that they've just learned as effective. And this is one of those that we bring to the table in addition to all the other things. And I think this also speaks to a question I think you've got. Our physicians practice in all realms. So we graduate surgeons, internal medicine, pediatrics. We like to, I think because of this tenet, this holistic view to the patient, we tend to gravitate towards individuals who hope to end up in primary care. So family practice, pediatrics, obstetrics and gynecology, internal medicine, even emergency medicine, I think some would count as primary care. And so the preponderance of our graduates go into those fields, probably because our philosophy sort of is aligned with that view. We want to treat individuals, we want to treat families, we want to treat communities. And so although we can specialize as well, you're looking at a pediatric genetics specialist. I'm a rare bird. I see families and children affected by very rare conditions that many times are genetic. We have osteopathic physicians practicing oncology and neurology, and gastroenterology, pediatric specialties, psychiatry, any of the medical specialties our curriculum allows a student to practice if they choose to go forward in that type of training. So that was a long answer to a quick question, but I think I could go on for years because the profession's been around that long. We bring a lot of strengths. We bring a lot of capacities. And I think we bring things that are unique that our patients and the individuals we interact with recognize and come back to again and again.
Well, and I think you've started to answer it, Andy, but tell me more about the mission of the MSU College of Osteopathic Medicine.
Yes, it's exactly the point is we want to graduate the best and brightest physicians for today's medicine, for today's citizens in the state of Michigan and beyond. But we're pretty proud of the fact that 70 to 80% of our graduates stay in the state of Michigan to do their specialty training. And then 70 to 80% of our graduates actually stay in the state of Michigan and practice. They want to go back to the communities they came from and bring that knowledge back and those philosophies. Our mission is to foster that, to provide a curriculum that is second to none, that allows our students to pursue their dreams of becoming that great pediatrician, that great surgeon, that great geneticist, that they want to be. And what we try to do as a med school is provide every opportunity to have the best experience our students can have. So we bring clinicians from around the state and beyond to teach, to bring their, everyday experiences to our students. We want to expand research opportunities to them. And so we have, for example, a DO PhD program. We have 50 students that are, been called that they will not only pursue a DO degree, but also get a PhD in any number of specialties to really bring expertise. We also, class is incredible. We take about 300 students a year. These students are not just bright. I mean, these are the students that ace everything, do great on exams, but they do more than that. They're involved in their communities. They volunteer. They go abroad and do missions. And our curriculum hopes to continue to foster that. So even though our curriculum is tough, lots of knowledge to learn. You've got 150 years worth of medicine to condense down into our curriculum. But we also foster opportunities for students to participate. And we have Lansing Street Care, Detroit Street Care, where students get to provide care to indigent populations that are in dire need. We have students going abroad to experiences in Peru, Merida, Mexico, Pakistan, all kinds of places to bring their knowledge and skills and see them in action. Volunteerism, those are all the things that we hope to foster in the medical school while they're here with us. And we also we have interactions with about 45 hospital systems in the state of Michigan and beyond. So our students actually train in a number of hospitals near you in their final years of the curriculum, going back to the communities. So our mission as a college is to produce these physicians that are going to be able to work in a variety of environments, bring those skills and design and philosophies to everybody they see and everybody they interact with.
And Dean Amalfitano, tell me more about where your alumni practice and what kind of specialties do they practice in?
So we have about 4,000, is it 5,000 alumni? 5,000, it's growing fast. Our alumni practice throughout the country and even internationally. So we have alumni that practice in 81 of 83 counties, and those last two counties, we're going to get to them. And our students, as I said, primarily focus on primary care. So family practice, pediatrics, internal medicine, psychiatry. We're strong in all these types of specialization, which is critical today in contemporary medicine. There's a dire shortage of these type of physicians because they're the ones that are going to go and prevent problems from happening. We do graduate specialists. As I said, I'm a genetic specialist. We have all types of specialties represented as well, neurology, gastroenterology, cardiology, and our students, orthopedic surgeons, urologic surgeons, and our students do go on, dermatology, I can just go on and on. Yeah. Every medical specialty, our students can seek those out if that's what their desire is as they go forward. But always, the link here is that we bring this osteopathic flavor to all these realms of clinical medicine. The other point I'd like to make is that currently there's a dire physician shortage, both nationally and in the state of Michigan. I think some recent numbers, we're short 2,000 physicians, of which mostly primary care. As our population ages, the need for primary care physicians is more and more acute, and so our college naturally supports that intent to produce those type of physicians just by our philosophies. So we're trying to address those concerns.
And how is this year's application cycle going for the college?
This is one of the things, I mean, I love this college. I love the university. And I love bragging about it. It's just, it's self-serving at some level because I'm an alumni. But at the same point, this is an incredible bright spot. So as I mentioned, we take typically about 300 students a year. We have 200 at our East Lansing campus. We have 50 at a Macomb County campus and 50 at a Detroit Medical Center campus. And so we can offer various settings for our students to, participate in the curriculum. So I'll give you an example. This year, we already have had over 6,000 applicants for these 300 positions. These are the best and brightest, both in the state as well nationally. We have a lot of folks from out of state wanting to come to our college. So we can be very selective, and we are. We obviously want to be because we want to graduate the best physicians. This year is a banner year. We're actually 9 or 10% ahead of last year's pace as far as students applying and actually agreeing to come to our college than we were last year. And last year was a record year. So our college is thriving. If you look at metrics of our incoming students, their grade points are higher than ever. Their MCAT scores are higher than ever. But like I said, those are sort of baseline measures for us. We also look at, okay, these students are very bright. They can handle academics. But they also move beyond that and demonstrate evidence that, oh, by the way, they can also participate in volunteer activities. They're active in their community. And they can handle the rigors of a medical curriculum like ours. and we're able to take and select those few out of that applicant pool and allow the curriculum to then work the magic on these folks that have already demonstrated the capacity to handle our curriculum.
You're listening to MSU Today. I'm talking with Andy Amalfitano. He's the dean of MSU's College of Osteopathic Medicine. And Andy, what are some of the areas of research excellence in the college?
Well, research, by being part of a Big Ten university, our college gets to take, for lack of a better term, advantage of the fact that we're sitting on top of a premier research institution in the world. I mean, we're sitting, Michigan State, by various measures, probably, you know, top 70 in the world. And so our college and our students and our faculty are able to collaborate across the university on any variety of topics, be it studies and research and education and newest techniques, clinical trials, bringing the latest and greatest drugs or interventions to patients that we see. And we have quite a robust basic research infrastructure in place. That's why we're able to have our DO PhD program, which I mentioned. So we have 50 students. Those 50 students are actually placed in individual labs of really world-class research laboratories. And those research laboratories conduct research in studies of microbiology, physiology, oncology, virology. It goes all the ologies that you can think of we support as a college. So many of our faculty not only teach the medical students, but conduct basic biomedical research on a number of fronts, and always with an eye towards doing research, not only for the sake of doing research and science, but also I'd say most of our researchers are really looking to apply their knowledge to real-world problems and hopefully near-term solutions. And so we seek to support that kind of effort in our college.
The land-grant mission alive and well. Now, so what are some of your short and long-term goals for the college as you take over as dean?
Short-term, what we constantly do is address the curriculum and the student experience. I think that's always a top priority, and it certainly is mine. I view it as a sacred trust that our college needs to produce the best physicians for the citizens and the nation. And so we constantly evaluate our curriculum, constantly updating it, looking at what is needs to be in there, what maybe now is no longer necessary, and trying to just hone it year after year to make sure that our students are coming out with the latest that they need to operate in today's contemporary medical kind of environment. That's a very near-term goal, is just to demonstrate that we are improving the curriculum and making sure our students are successful. One measure of that is to make sure our students always have the availability, if they choose to go into pediatrics or choose to be an orthopedic surgeon or a vascular surgeon or a geneticist, that once they get out of the college, opportunities, they're perfectly trained and ready to be recognized and be given the opportunity to go to that next level of training. So those are near-term things that we're working on. We also want to increase the research experiences of more students in our college, and I'm trying to increase the time that students can maybe dedicate during their time in the med school to research if they choose to desire that path. And I have indirectly noted that probably about 30% of our students at one point or another would like to participate in some research. I mean, these are bright individuals, and they've got, they've got insights, and they're able to identify real-time problems, and they know they're sitting on this university that's so great that maybe they can tackle them. We want to foster that. And then we also want to improve the outreach and volunteer abilities of our students to participate in. So we support a number of, as I said, international volunteer opportunities for our students through our Institute for Global Health. They do a tremendous job, and we're growing that, as well as some of the local volunteer and outreach activities we have in the community and beyond. So those are the near-term. Long-term, We have a, I think we need to focus on the fact that medicine is changing rapidly. Hospital systems are merging and becoming big monoliths. How does today's contemporary medical school graduate fit into that? How do they not lose their skills in being patient-centered while you've got all these outside forces, insurance, government, corporate structures pushing on the doctor-patient relationship? Those are issues that are evolving, and I think long-term we have to keep an eye on that. How is medicine changing for 10 years from now, but preparing today's graduate or medical school incoming class for that reality downstream? That's something that we really are working on to address.
And Dean Amalfitano, you're an acclaimed researcher in your own right. Can you tell me a little bit about your own research and how in the world you balance that with being a dean?
Well, my research, I'm a product of the DO PhD program here at Michigan State, one of the early graduates. I won't say how early, but it was several years ago. But I've always wanted to combine the latest and greatest that science had to offer and maybe bring it to patients that I was seeing. I always knew I wanted to be a doctor, but I've always had this scientific kind of view. So my research has evolved through the years, but it always focuses on, can I develop something in the laboratory and bring it to patients soon, like within a couple of years? There's a sobering kind of reality to what I do. I see families that are affected by very devastating, many times, diagnoses. Genetic diagnoses can tend to be that way. And there's nothing more emotional than having a family with their child affected by a devastating illness and you don't have an answer. You can provide supportive care, and many times, you know, that is important, and families are grateful for that, but I always want to do more. So my research is focused on how can I take the latest in genetic technologies that you hear a lot about and touted a lot about, but really distilling the hype from reality, and what can we do to bring that to today's patients. So my research is focused on using genetic engineering to develop technologies to treat a variety of conditions. So my research is focused on developing what's called genetic medicine. How do we deliver genetic information into patients affected by any variety of disease to maybe improve their health outcome? So my laboratory studies viruses, and we've engineered, de-engineered viruses, a typical cold virus, and turned it into a medicine that now we use, and it's actually being tested in clinical trials to try and stimulate patients' immune system to fight cancer. We're also looking at conditions that result in autoimmune disease. So this is when your body sort of gets a little too aggressive and starts attacking itself, and you end up with diseases like arthritis, multiple sclerosis, non-insulin dependent diabetes mellitus. These are common conditions that are due to sort of a over-vigilant immune system. And so we're using genetics and genetic understanding to now develop new treatments to maybe slow down the immune system, actually, and taking the knowledge from the laboratory back into the clinic. So I think every physician has multiple talents, and we juggle that. Some are administrative, some are teaching, some do research, some do outreach, and we all do it at various levels. So my kind of, the specialty is combining research. I do see patients, but combining it. I think that's what I was trained to do, and I've had the opportunity to be successful at some level, I would say, in conducting that, and I hope that by setting that example to our students and faculty, that we all are working to try and do more than one thing, we can all kind of move forward.
And can you tell me about how some of your research actually affected state policy?
Yeah, well, I was able to participate in the first in human studies of a novel recombinant protein, is what it's called, to treat a devastating, actually lethal disorder called Pompe disease. This is a muscular dystrophy that affects infants, children, and adults. I have some patients affected that are, you know, in their 60s and 70s with this condition. It could affect you at any time. And we, through those initial studies, showed that this new unique type of therapy could work and show it could literally save lives, especially the sooner that you intervened, the better. So a young child affected with this condition, if you could get the drug to them before their symptoms got very bad, we would have a much better outcome. So sooner, sort of preemptively, which is, you know, certainly an osteopathic tenet we try and espouse to, but that holds true for many diseases. Well, anyway, long story short, but multiple years, multiple studies, thousands of patients worldwide, that drug is now approved. And so now I routinely prescribe that drug to my patients, and any physician, particularly geneticists who have expertise, neurologists, prescribe this now available drug worldwide to the thousands, tens of thousands of patients affected by Pompe disease. Well, in the state of Michigan now, I've had the luxury of participating in what's called the newborn screening program. State of Michigan, every baby that's born in the state of Michigan, so last year about approximately 100,000 babies born. If you recall, if you've had a child recently, there was a little form you filled out, and your baby's heel had a little pinprick done, and a little spot of blood was drawn and sent off to the central state of Michigan labs, where we screen for about 80 different truly devastating disorders, in which if we know we get in sooner rather, if we can identify a baby sooner rather than later, we can have a great impact. Actually, the state of Michigan is probably got one of the state-of-the-art programs in the nation, and so I'm proud to help. Well, anyway, in the state of Michigan now, all babies are now screened for Pompe disease. So within 24 to 48 hours of birth, we know if a child is going to be affected with Pompe before they show any sign or symptom. We can get them to the appropriate specialist, and if necessary, we'll get them on this new drug as soon as possible. A number of babies have already been identified that may have not been identified until it was too late. So that's how something can move from a laboratory to clinical trials to actual deployment in the clinic, where physicians are able to prescribe a new drug and, in fact, now impact sort of health policy at a population level. Those are just wonderful things to have been able to be a part of. My training put me in a position to be there, and we will continue to look for opportunities to repeat that over and over again as a college.
And Dr. Amalfitano, we've talked a bit about the curriculum and the quality of the students you have here. Can you talk about the skill set they sort of are going to need to hone to enter this new world of medicine you talk about that is always evolving?
Yeah, it's complex. So first of all, you have to understand the science of medicine and all the biochemistry and genetics and neurology. I mean, this is just fact of life. We have to handle that. Now, throw on top of that the fact that we are recognizing ever more complex diseases and trying to intervene sooner. We need to integrate that capacity. We just don't want students and patients having to not get any care until they show, like, extreme symptoms. We want to be preemptive. And then couple that with the realities that I mentioned earlier, limited access to health care, evolving considerations about insurance and government involvement, and how does today's physician orchestrate all those different players to make sure that they protect their patients and provide the best care possible and do it in an expeditious sort of manner. Electronics are coming into play. We have electronic medical records that our students need to be able to navigate. All these things, unfortunately, the business of medicine, you know, if we can't make it run financially, then unfortunately everybody suffers. So these are the things that our students are getting all at once in our curriculum, and then get continued training on when they exit the medical school and they're in their residency and fellowship training. And then that's lifelong. We actually, as a college, support a number of what's called continuing medical education. So once you become a physician, you're practicing as part of your licensing as an osteopathic physician or any physician. You have to continuously take a number of credits per year, 25, 50 hours a year, to keep up your skills, and we need that validated. So our college provides those opportunities as well at a number of venues throughout the state and actually nationally. So it's a multifaceted profession, requires a number of skills, but it's ultimately rewarding at a number of levels too.
And Spartans will. Mm-hmm. And Andy, as we sort of bring all this together, and I know we could have an entire conference on it, but what do you see as sort of the challenges and the opportunities for your college moving forward, and maybe even MSU and higher ed in general?
Well, the challenges are this notion that medicine is changing and becoming more, the doctor-patient relationship is not what it used to be. We have a lot of outside forces that want to impose what I think are genuine concerns. We have cost constraints. We have, you know, it's the biggest, you know, cost on the economy right now is healthcare. I think those are the challenges. How do we integrate into that fabric? We have a shortage of physicians. How do we create those physicians, provide them in a manner that aligns well with what the country and the world needs? I mean, that is a big challenge that we constantly try and address. So this is a challenge not only for our college, but the medical profession nationally, is how do we address the fact that the physicians that we've been graduating from our medical schools nationally do not reflect the demographic populations that they're going to go and serve. We are trying at all kinds of levels, and we recognize that we're falling short. This is a challenge at a number of levels. For example, our college, we do pretty well, but we can do much better. We want to increase the diversity of the student body, because a diverse student body brings all kinds of perspectives to the entire medical school that we can all benefit from and learn from, and to be quite frank, take advantage of, so that we can deliver even better care, so we can understand how different cultures might respond to one intervention by one doctor in one manner and to another doctor in a different manner, if we just have that cultural awareness. We try and deliver this into our curriculum, but we certainly are looking at every opportunity to expand and acknowledge that that is critical for us to be successful as physicians. But we have more. For example, in our entering class that I talked about, we would like to bring in a more diverse applicant pool. One of the problems is just finances. Medical school is expensive. Tuition is expensive. We are constantly attempting to secure dollars to offset those costs, to provide scholarships. And we do a good job of that, but we can always do better. So one of my challenges going forward is to seek out philanthropic support for our college to provide scholarships to these deserving students that may come many times from socioeconomically disadvantaged backgrounds. I certainly was, and I received funds when I came to med school. I couldn't have done it without it. I'll never forget that. And we need to replicate that and expand that going forward. So we are looking to provide increased numbers of scholarships to our students, in particular out-of-state students, where we think we can bring a more diverse class to the college and draw upon deserving students nationally. And we also already know that if we can draw those students, they actually will stay in the state of Michigan and bring their unique skills to the entire state. So that is a challenge. And that is one that we don't have a quick answer for, but is we need to address now. And we are trying to deploy near-term ways to do that. And certainly one of my goals will be to try and improve the ability of our college to provide scholarship support to deserving students that can bring some unique perspectives to the entire profession. Other challenges, I don't have many to articulate because I'm so confident in all the things we have in place right now, including what you asked me about earlier about our incoming class, to see that more and more college students want to come to our med school to become that physician that they envision themselves to be, and they have the confidence that our college can do it for them, to me really alleviates any long-term concerns. I mean, if they have that kind of faith in us and what we've been doing, well, we're going to deliver as a college. So we will continue to do what we feel has been successful through the years.
Well, Andy, thank you so much for telling me about your college on MSU today.
Well, thank you very much for the time. I really appreciate it. And it's as I said, it's just an honor and a thrill to be able to lead a college that has so many great people involved at all levels, the students, the faculty, the staff. Over this past year, I've gotten to meet a lot of new people. And it's just the desire here is truly from the heart. And then to also beyond the college, our alumni, the support of the profession in the state of Michigan, even our colleagues nationally, internationally. It's just a thrill that everybody is focused on the same thing. That is, how do we help our individuals that come to us as physicians, patients who seek out help or care or information, and they're turning to us in greater numbers, and we're there to meet that challenge. That's just it's just a wonderful thing, and I'm blessed to be able to have a role.
That's Dr. Andrea Amalfitano, Dean of Michigan State University's College of Osteopathic Medicine. Everything we've talked about online at com.msu.edu. And I'm Russ White for MSU Today.